Welcome to Common Sense Coalition Talk Radio, where you'll find straight talk from people with good old common sense.
I trust your opinion.
And now, for your host, he's putting sense back into nonsense.
Absolute insanity.
Well, you can hear me on the radio.
Your host, Beth Ann.
And I welcome you today to CSE Talk Radio. It's my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to be here with you today. And, you know, today would have been my mother's 101st birthday. She would have turned 101 today. We lost her 5 years ago in January. And many of you were with me all through her illness and her passing and kind of held my hand over the airwaves. And I appreciate that so much. It also happens to mark the day for those of you who have been listening to me and then my late boss many, many years ago. It's also the day he passed away. I was baking my mother a birthday cake when I got word that Derry Brownfield had passed away. That's been 9 years ago that we bid him goodbye. There are always people in our lives that we never forget and make a difference. They make an impact one way or another on our lives. They will make an impact. Those two fought the good fight, and they led good lives here on Earth, and we will continue to do that work and hopefully the Lord will continue to bless us. For such a time as this, O God, we thank you for the many lives you've placed before us and brought to us. We learn and we grow knowing those you have put in our paths. I ask you again today to watch over President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence, keep them wise and give them good godly counsel as they attempt to lead a nation that seems to be so dizzy and confused. There are many, O God, who constantly bombard us with lies and half-truths and attempt to use those untruths to control our lives. Help us to have discernment and wisdom and to use the common sense you have gifted us with. Thank you for today's guest, and I'm excited to bring him on the air and talk true science and common sense and calm the hysteria that is around us. Bless the CO2 Coalition and all its members that they might be successful in their mission of truth. For such a time as this, O God, I lift our burdens up to you and seek your truth in all things. Amen. Everyone just calm down. That's my advice for today. When you panic, if there's a threat, it just gets compounded. But did you know 99.9% of the things we worry about never happen? And why do we listen to liars in our lives and ignore reason? Why do we do that? I'm so excited about today's guest. He's been here with us before, and I was told he requested to come back, and a second date is always a good idea. It's always a good sign. When he originally requested this interview, the coronavirus, COVID-19, was not the big headliner it is today, but we're going to visit a little bit about it. We're not going to talk a lot about it. And people are being encouraged to panic, and we're going to try and bring some calm and common sense back into this world as best we can. Today's guest is Dr. Patrick Michaels. He's CO2 Coalition, and I'm proud to be associated with
Moore.
Oh, what did I say?
Michaels.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Patrick Moore. I have been confused all morning about that. Doctor, I'm so glad to have you back with us. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. It's a beautiful day here in British Columbia.
Well, it's raining here in Missouri, but we're okay with that, I guess. I'd rather see sunshine, but we do need to see a little rain once in a while. And springtime is about that. It's not because climate changed. I mean, it changes every day here. It's not because
it does the same thing here, and it's been doing it for quite a few million years, as far as I know.
Well, I think that's probably true, and it's not going to change too quickly. It's not truly an existential threat like they would like us to believe, and I was excited that you wanted to come back on and talk about that.
Well, it's really good to be here at this time because they've been telling us about the climate emergency and the climate crisis as if people should be fleeing. And actually, the only people who are fleeing are going from the cold countries to the warm countries to get away from the cold countries And at the same time, they're telling us it's too hot. So it's completely insane and, as you say, nonsense and not sense at all. Whereas the coronavirus is an emergency. Yes, we should remain calm at all times and do the right things, and panicking is counterproductive. But it is an emergency, and so let's face up to it in that way and get focused on it and think about what we can do. But the climate is not an emergency, and the people who are saying it is are only doing that to bring attention to themselves and their need for government grants and their need for just personal attention, I guess. But it's wrong for us to be sidelined by this, as if there's something wrong with the climate in this world. And not only is there something wrong with the climate, but we are definitely to blame for the entire thing. It's, you know, what should we do? Throw virgins in a volcano? Should we burn some witches? Should we, for what? I don't know why they always choose
wear garlic around our neck. Or
yeah, it is insane that they would think. There's absolutely nothing about the weather or the climate today that is any different than this whole 10,000-year interglacial period we have been in since we came out of the last major glaciation between 20 and 10,000 years ago. That's when all the huge glacier that went right down into Montana and Idaho and into New York State and covered the whole of Canada pretty well, that was climate change. When those glaciers melted, they were over 3 miles thick in many cases. Over Montreal, there was 2 miles of ice. Over Churchill, Manitoba, there was between 3 and 5 miles of ice. Whereas today, even though there's a harsh winter still in these northern climates, there's no mile of ice on top of the cities. And so what's happened just in the last 300 years has been a slight warming, because we had a thing called the Little Ice Age, which peaked around 1700, when the River Thames froze over at least once or twice per decade for about 300 years between 1500 and 1814, the last year that the River Thames froze over. And we certainly didn't do that, that we weren't using enough fossil fuels in 1814 to warm anything up. And yet the Earth was warming already for over 100 years at that point, and it has continued to warm since then. And you would expect, by the pattern that's occurred over the last 3,000 or 4,000 years, that every 1,000 years there's a peak of warming, followed 500 years later by a peak of cooling, or a bottom out of cooling. That's the way it's gone from the Roman warm period to the Dark Ages cold period, to the medieval warm period when the Vikings colonized Greenland and grew food there, and then they evacuated around 1300 as the Little Ice Age came on, and by 1700 it was really cold, colder than it's been for the last 10,000 years in the Little Ice Age, because we're actually in a cooling period overall now on Earth for about the last 5,000 years. This interglacial period started out considerably warmer than it is now. The Sahara was green, and there were cattle herders and goat herders all across it, and many towns. They had names. There are maps showing where they are. There are petroglyphs there where people carved scenes of people goat herding out in the middle of what is now a sand dune. And so we know these things from historical records, from scientific knowledge of ice cores and sediment cores from the bottom of the ocean. We can go back 100, 200, 300 million years and know something about what the climate was like then. And the truth of the matter is, and I'll finish with just these 2 points for now, that the truth of the matter is it is colder now in this Pleistocene ice age, which has had glaciation after glaciation after glaciation for the last 2.5 million years. It's colder now in this Pleistocene ice age than it has been since the last ice age, which ended 280 million years ago. So it's been warm for ever since then until now.
We're headed into a break. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. I'm visiting today with Dr. Patrick Moore, and we will be right back.
I can't move on. I lay my heart on these tracks.
Our founding fathers knew that the heartland would be coveted by those who want the land and its resources, or hated by those who simply do not understand its value. It is that simple. And yet today, the humble folks in the heartland are losing jobs and feeling the pressures from an out-of-control bureaucracy as well as outsiders with agendas. From the heartlands of America come our food, manufacturing, and our energy. CSC Talk Radio is a voice crying from the heartland and standing up for rural America. And so is Power the Future. Power the Future is a unique foundation established to be the voice for rural American energy jobs. Daniel Turner is a strong advocate pushing against those who would like to punish rural folks and take their jobs for the sake of climate change or the land and its wealth. I'm proud to be a part of Power the Future and bring Daniel Turner here to you. Our future depends on it. Let's power the future as we bring America home to common sense jobs and give our rural families a voice. Visit powerthefuture.us. Powerthefuture.us is the way to bring America home. Liberty Tabletop brings liberty to your table. For those of you who want to display your patriot heart, set your table with liberty. The new patriotic flatware pattern by Liberty Tabletop. Your dining table sets the mood for the American family and the American dream. Liberty honors our fallen heroes, the Liberty Bell, We the People with Stars and Stripes, our American Eagle, and the Statue of Liberty. Each piece of the Liberty flatware pattern is an art with elegance, high-quality work, and high-quality 1810 stainless American steel. Each piece is unique while conveying the same patriotic message, liberty for all, and we love America. Order your set now and a set as a gift for a special patriot in your life. Liberty Tabletop brings liberty home to your table. Use the promo code BethAnn and receive a discount. LibertyTabletop.com or call them 844-386-2338. Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And we have returned to listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. Today's show is sponsored by the CO2 Coalition, and we have Dr. Patrick Moore with us. And you were trying to give us 2 points, and the time ran out as we were headed into that commercial break, and I do apologize for that. Number one, it's colder now. I was writing them down. Number two, I'm ready for number two now.
Beth Ann, number two is the punchline. The fact is carbon dioxide is the most important element molecule for life on Earth. That's where all the carbon and carbon-based life comes from, whether it's living on the land or in the seas or in lakes. The carbon dioxide is how we get our life from this Earth. And if there was no carbon dioxide, there'd be no life. And carbon dioxide, what they're saying, is causing the climate emergency. They're saying there's too much of it. When in fact, just like with the temperature, there's actually less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and in the oceans now than there has been in the entire history of the Earth, except for just a few million years before we came along, as it was declining and declining and declining for the last 500 million years, as it was sucked out of the atmosphere and the oceans by living things and put into deposits in the bottom of the sea and in fossil fuels. So we came along and started putting some of the carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere, which had been there in the first place. All the carbon in fossil fuels and all the carbon in the carbonaceous rocks, which includes limestone, which is a much larger amount of carbon than is in the fossil fuels, all came from the from the atmosphere and the oceans in the first place and was sedimentized on the bottom, where now we can use this fossil fuel for energy. It was made with sunlight. Fossil fuel is organic, as in the chemistry of carbon. So what we're doing by putting the CO2 back into the atmosphere is re-fertilizing the earth with its essential nutrient, carbon dioxide and water. There's no lack of water, as anybody can see, but there is a lack of carbon dioxide, and the plants would rather have more of it than less of it. And that puts a lie to the whole climate change argument.
You know, I'm so excited to have CO2 Coalition. And because of you, I am learning so much. And I had been on Twitter here a couple of weeks ago, and somebody was really going after the climate change and the hysteria and the existential threat. And I came up with this little quip because of CO2 Coalition. And I tweeted out, CO2 is good for you. And you know what I got? If you believe that, you're a racist. I thought, whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
So I thought, well, I don't know what one had to do with the other, but it never, when they can't argue you with you and make sense, they usually just throw, you know, insults at you. And I'm really surprised that they haven't come up with the same thing with coronavirus, blaming it on climate change. I'm sure that'll happen. They'll get around to it. But, you know, there is no existential threat. And I think the more we educate the listeners and Americans, the less they're going to listen to these D.C. occupiers, I call them, occupying offices with their Green New Deals that aren't going to help anything, but they are going to break this nation as far as monetarily. And I have someone else in the energy industry that pointed out to me earlier this week that all the things that they were wanting to go to these, and not that they're bad, they're not the bad things necessarily, but the solar energy and the wind energy and on and on and on, a lot of the things that we would gain from that, the industry and everything, is coming from China. And that's what we found out here with the coronavirus. All our pharmaceuticals are in China, so we're all in trouble. So what would happen? And, of course, it's a threat that's not real with the climate change. And, again, I just can't say enough how happy I am that I found you guys, the CO2 Coalition. And it happened accident,
you know,
if you believe in accidents. So
when you're focused on a crisis that doesn't even exist, then you don't focus on the things that really matter. And that's what's going on in society today. I mean, the labor unions in Europe have just come out because the EU is about to adopt a policy to completely phase out fossil fuels, or at least they call it net zero. And the labor unions are saying this is going to cost 11 million jobs. Mm. And 11 million jobs is quite a few jobs to lose. And it's mostly jobs in manufacturing, automobiles, things we need every day in our lives. So it's so unreal, the kinds of things they are proposing. In the Green New Deal in the United States, for example, that's basically a suicide pact to have a phase out of fossil fuels. It's 85% of the energy that runs the country. And they're actually saying we should phase it out. And, you know, how crazy is that?
And who will benefit from all those mandates and regulations that they want to implement in that? It's not going to be the American people. And we have the cleanest air. I mean, they're not yelling at China or some of these other countries that really don't have clean air, that have smog. I mean, it's not even CO2. We can't even call it that, I don't believe it. I mean, it's just filthy nasty. I had a son that went over there for a mission trip, and they had their young daughter with them. And they wouldn't let her go out because it was so bad.
Yes, I guess you could cut it with a knife.
The climate crisis
crowd is giving China a complete pass. They're actually saying that the Chinese system of government is probably a better system of government to solve the climate crisis with, which basically means dictatorship. And I find that that's the way their mentality works. They actually are not in favor of free speech. In many cases, it's not really about climate change. It's about whether they should shut you down so that you can't talk in public. I've had it happen to myself.
I was going to say, I bet you have experienced that.
I have. As a matter of fact, I was with a group of about 500 loggers in Eugene just the other day for their annual conference, and people started standing up in my audience with signs saying false and started screaming and trying to shout me down. And I said to these loggers, I said, would you please forcibly remove these people from this hall? They are disturbing my talk, and just try not to harm them, but please throw them out the back door. And that's what they did. And that's what you have to do, I think. Some people get all flustered and don't know what to do when they get shouted down. What you've got to do is get those people out of the room right away, because they don't belong there. They have no right there if they are disrupting your event. I guess it's taking the law into your own hands. But
well,
I'm going to make sure I have more security from now on when I'm speaking in public, because they target you.
And that's one thing I have wondered for many years here. Why do we listen to these liars and we put reason aside? Why wouldn't they want to listen to you and at least hear what you have to say? I mean, I don't get that. You know, if they would make sense, then we could sit down and have conversations, but you can't have conversations. They won't allow it. And I've never understood that. We've seen that their predictions, not one of their predictions, not one, have ever come to fruition. It's all been false. And yet we continue to give them substance as if they're telling the truth, and they're not. And it just blows my mind that we even listen.
Yes, and their minds are closed, whereas ours are not. And like someone said, there's a little ditty, John, when I get new information, I change my mind. What do you do? You know, and these people do not change their mind. It doesn't matter what information they get. They just stick with the litany or the narrative, as they like to call it.
Well, don't you love their new phrase that you don't believe in science?
Yes. Oh, the science. They say the science says, and then they say what the science says. Whereas science doesn't talk. Science is a method, and they got their language all mixed up. They talk about science, about climate deniers. Like that's what I am called, formally called, even in newspaper headlines sometimes, a climate denier. Well, please use your language correctly. I don't deny that there's a climate. If you call me a climate change denier, I don't deny that the climate changes. So just say that I'm skeptical of the idea that humans are causing a climate emergency, and I will agree with you, because that characterizes what I'm saying. But don't call me a climate denier.
Well, I get a big kick out of them, although other people are listening, and that blows my mind that they would even listen to them. But when they say, you know, that we don't believe in science, and yet they promote other things that are definitely not scientific that we learned a long time ago in biology. So I hear the music. We're headed into a break. You're listening to COC Talk Radio. We're talking to CO2 Coalition. Try to get that straight. CSC Talk Radio and CO2 Coalition. We're fighting for truth and common sense. And let's not panic. And we will be right back.
Centuries, those who raise, breed, and work with animals have been revered and lauded for what they do. Today, across America, the rights to own and raise animals are under attack by animal rights activists and their increased influence on government and non-government agencies. This onslaught regularly violates protection from legal search and seizure and a citizen's right to due process of the law, all of which are outlined specifically in the U.S. Constitution. Protect your animals, your animal enterprise, and your property from this abuse. of power with a membership to the Cavalry Group. Membership provides immediate access to their team to protect law-abiding animal owners and animal enterprise against unwarranted search and seizure and false claims. They also work to protect their members' interests legislatively at the local, state, and federal levels. Get the shield that protects you, your animals, and your property. Join the Cavalry Group today. Call 855-748-4210 or go to their website at thecavalrygroup.com.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-4403. That's 800-510-4403. Call now. 800-510-4403.
For such a time as this, we know that the heart of a nation takes on the heart of its people. If the people have turned from God, the nation is doomed in sin. God is in control of all nations and their leaders. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The future of this nation is relying on the bended knees of the people, God's people. Will you accept this challenge to sacrifice 5 minutes a day to kneel and to pray for such a time as this? Queen Esther was put in place by God to save her people. You have that same obligation now. Will you humble yourselves and pray, ask forgiveness, and trust in our God to heal our land and bring America home?
What if things were made in America again? We all complain about our products, even our food, coming from foreign lands and foreign laborers. But do we really understand? James Stubert didn't understand, so he dug in, and wow, he kept digging in. It all started with a light bulb. It held the label GE, but it read Made in China. Jim has done the research. Now you can have the answers in detail. Consumers can rebuild the middle class by buying things made in American communities. Find out why free trade resulted in 6 million lost manufacturing jobs and lower wages for most Americans. While free trade brought cheaper goods, we also had less money to purchase goods. That giant sucking sound sucked the life right out of American manufacturing. Order Jim's book today. What if things were made in America again? Send $24.95 to CSE Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Let's build it in America, buy it in America, and bring America home. We have returned. You're listening to CSE Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann. We're visiting today with Dr. Patrick Moore of the CO2 Coalition, and we just want everybody to calm down. We want everyone to listen to some reason and to check the facts. And I want you to go to co2coalition.org. That's co2coalition.org. Lots of good information there. Great articles. And have one of these guys come out and talk to one of your groups or something. I think they'd enjoy that, wouldn't they, Doctor?
Absolutely. We do a lot of speaking to community groups and schools, universities, because we have a very deep knowledge in our 59 members in the CO2 Coalition. It's a by invitation only membership. We vet people very carefully for their qualifications and for any conflicts of interest. And we are all a bunch of top scientists, engineers, and economists who cover the bases on these subjects. This whole issue of climate and economy and the politics of it, they're all intertwined. And in fact, whereas billions of dollars are being spent on climate research, and in some cases it seems pretty redundant, they tell us the science is settled, and then they need another grant to study it some more for some reason. but I'm not against studying the climate, of course.
No, I understand
it's all
that.
It's all skewed towards just perpetuating this myth about the emergency. But the actual economic cost of this so-called crisis is massive. It's trillions of dollars. And you mentioned wind and solar earlier. Actually, in most of the United States, and certainly in all of Canada, they are actually a parasite on the larger economy.
Yeah.
I've said that all the wind and solar should have to be built with energy produced by wind and solar, and see what that would do. for one thing,
well, that's a good one. I like that.
It would be too expensive, and there wouldn't be enough of it, because a lot of these installations never produce as much energy as it took to build them. And that is what's called an economic parasite.
I think Dr. Michaels was the one telling me one day on the air that they were putting them out at sea and how horrible that was going to be for the wind turbines, because it just could have corroded them and they're just not going to last. It was just a ridiculous thing to do, and that made absolutely no sense. But you're absolutely right. I said they can't make those wind turbines without steel. And they can't mold that steel without coal. They've got to have it. And yet those are the things they want to remove.
That's right. No, it's totally backwards and nonsensical. And as I say, if we phased out fossil fuels, a couple of things would happen. First, all the people in the middle of the cities would starve to death because they wouldn't be able to get the food to them, and they wouldn't be able to grow the food because the tractors need fuel. And the second thing that would happen is they'd cut down every last living tree in the world for energy, because that's all there'd be left. I mean, there was a time when trees and wood were the only major energy source in the world. And now that we have fossil fuels, the world has actually become greener and has more forests than it did before we started using fossil fuels, especially Europe and Asia, where the concentrations of people are so much higher.
Well, I know that, you know, the fires have been devastating, but the climate didn't cause the fires, and that's what they want everyone to believe, that climate change is the reason these fires took place. And I had one of your men from Australia that was talking about the fires there, and of course that he said it wasn't anything to do with climate change. And if it's the same thing on the coast here in the west part of the United States, it isn't climate change that's doing it, and we have more damage, we have more loss, because we keep building closer to the forests and the woods, and you're just going to have that. That's what happens.
The fact is, there's almost no fires on privately managed forest lands.
That's right. That's
because they're properly managed. But if you let the urban greens control forest management, which is what they're doing on all the public lands, which in the West is a very large percentage.
Oh, 70%
of Idaho is federal land. And so this is being managed by the deep state bureaucrats and their environmental friends back in Washington. And they're basically saying hands off. That's the best management policy. Whereas that's not true, because the fuel load builds up. And then they put suburbs like Paradise in California, they put it in a coniferous forest with the forest on either side of the houses. Coniferous trees, needle trees, are pitchy. When they catch fire and there's a wind, it just travels faster than animals and people can run and burns all the houses down. If they want to have forests around their suburbs, they should either clean out all the dead wood and thin the trees so that they're not going to catch fire like that, or they should cut them down, build their houses with the pine and Douglas fir, and plant broadleaf trees, which are not pitchy and don't burn like that. It's so easy, the things you can do to make sure that doesn't happen, but they don't listen, because the forestry class has been outnumbered and outgunned by the urban green people who think they know how to manage a forest when they can't even manage a garden plant, probably. You know, it's crazy what's happened, but this has happened in Australia too. The public forest lands are being managed by people who don't know how to manage.
You know, and that's the thing in so many aspects and industries here in the United States. We've got bureaucrats telling people how to farm and how to take care of things, and they haven't got a clue how to take care of the land, how to take care of the forest, how to take care of the water, and they don't have a clue. the ones that are actually making a living off of this, they know what to do. And they've made these for us a tinderbox, and they'll just go just like that. And they're not going to stop going because they've got too much fuel there.
Yep. Well, the general situation is that there's a downside to mechanization, because mechanization means there's way fewer people living in the country now than are living in the cities. So now the cities have the political control over what happens in the country. And not only that, the Greens' strategy is to make the city people think that the country people are the ones that are destroying the earth by drilling and plowing and cutting and digging and doing all the things that are necessary so that the city people can survive. Everything the city is made out of, and all the energy for the city, and all the food going into the city is coming from the people in the country. The only reason the people in the country are doing this is actually to keep those people in the cities alive. And there's 500 cities in the world with over a million people. And if we don't get straight on how this situation actually works every day, we will make huge errors and we will destroy our economy. And that's what these people are leading us into.
And they, many of, I think some of them have an agenda, but a lot of them just don't have a clue. We have become so many generations away from the farm or away from rural America that they don't know where their hamburger comes from. They don't know where their eggs come from. They don't understand the soil or the land. And it's different in different parts of this nation. So the people that are in the West and the people that are here in my area, smack dab in the middle of the nation, and those on the East or down South, it's all totally different. The land is not the same. But those people there know how to take care of it. Not D.C. I call them D.C. occupiers. Not them. They don't know what you and I are doing and how best to run our lives or take care of our industries. But they think they do. And they're just going to, they're making a mess of things. And that's what we see. And that's what this Green New Deal is. It's about control, really. And it's only 14 pages. I've told my listeners, just download it or send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and I'll get it to you. But it has nothing to do with fixing anything at all.
Well, I can tell you, you're like learning an awful lot. Listening to your announcements during the breaks, it's very clear you've got it straight. And it's a pleasure to be on with you with someone who has a deep knowledge of these things. A lot of people have a superficial knowledge of the ecology and the relationships among all the different parts of the world, but I can tell that you've probably learned a bit in your time.
Well, I've learned from people like you and people like C.J. Hadley with Range Magazine. That's who I've learned from, and my mentor, Derry Brownfield. I was kind of dumb when I came in, so I have been learning, and I listen. And I pay attention. And we're headed into a break. We're not going to take calls today. I'm just enthralled with Dr. Moore. And we're going to continue this. Visit CO2Coalition.org. And we will be right back.
As a business owner, when was the last time you asked yourself if you have the right commercial insurance coverage? You need business insurance to protect everything you're building. One disaster without the right insurance could hurt your business, and larger deals you're trying to close may require that you have it. We recommend CoverWallet for all your business insurance needs. In just 2 minutes, with their award-winning technology, they can offer you free competitive quotes from top insurance carriers nationwide. CoverWallet is helped tens of thousands of businesses, startups, restaurants, truckers, construction companies, landscaping companies, beauty salons, consultants, and they can help you. No business is too big or too small. And it's a free call to find out. Protect your business. Get the right insurance for your business. Call CoverWallet right now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get deep discounts on MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials.
I use MyPillow and so does my husband. We sleep better and wake more refreshed, ready to conquer a new day. You can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, Mike is bringing back the BOGO offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow and get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free. Enter promo code BethAnn. Call 1-800-978-6168 for these great radio specials. Gold and silver have been the foundation of wealth for individuals and nations the world over. The history of man is packed with coins, jewelry, and artifacts that have spoken to the intrinsic value esteemed in gold and silver due to their rarity, durability, and usefulness. I'm proud to call Melody Cederstrom a friend and honored. Discount Gold and Silver Trading is a loyal sponsor of CSE Talk Radio, a Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty. Melody provides quality products, quality service, and competitive pricing. Let Melody's over 20 years of experience and gold and silver trading be your investment guide, from precious metals purchases to precious metals IRA. Whether you want to buy or sell, Melody and her team at Discount Gold and Silver will assist you and make sure you get the best deals possible. Call Melody and tell her thank you for sponsoring CSE Talk Radio, and then let her know you want her to be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or just give her a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What if things were made in America again? We all complain about our products, even our food, coming from foreign lands and foreign laborers. But do we really understand? James Stubert didn't understand, so he dug in, and wow, he kept digging in. It all started with a light bulb. It held the label GE, but it read Made in China. Jim has done the research. Now you can have the answers in detail. Consumers can rebuild the middle class by buying things made in American communities. Find out why free trade resulted in 6 million lost manufacturing jobs and lower wages for most Americans. While free trade brought cheaper goods, we also had less money to purchase goods. That giant sucking sound sucked the life right out of American manufacturing. Order Jim's book today. What if things were made in America again? Send $24.95 to CSE Talk Radio, Post Office Box 73, California, Missouri 65018. Let's build it in America, buy it in America, and bring America home. We have returned. You're listening to CSC Talk Radio. This is Beth Ann, and we have CO2 Coalition Dr. Patrick Moore on today. And we're in the final segment already. This is the fastest hour of the day when you're learning and having a good time. And I do appreciate so much what CO2 Coalition is doing, and I want to encourage my listeners, if you want some of them to come out and speak to you, they would love to do that, and maybe to some of your classes. Maybe, do you do like middle school or elementary classes? They're probably not allowed in school, sorry. Do you do that? Because that would be a great thing.
It's very hard to get into the schools these days with our message, because the teachers have all pretty much been convinced that there's a climate emergency, and so have the city councils of nearly every city and town around the world, or at least in the Western world. So it's a real problem. And one of the really nasty things these people do is they say that all the wildlife and species are going to go extinct if the temperature rises up 1 degree more in Celsius, or 1.8 degrees in Fahrenheit. That's a lot less than going from New York to Miami, for Pete's sakes, in terms of the temperature of the climate. And the species don't all go extinct if you go to Miami. And as a matter of fact, there are more species in the tropics and subtropics than there are in the temperate and polar regions. And if you think of it, the warmest climates in the world, especially where there's sufficient rainfall, are the most diverse in living things. That's because warmth is good for life. And whereas you go to the North Pole, yes, there are species that have, through amazing ability, adapted to living where there's ice and snow, where ice and snow is actually the enemy of life, by and large. And it's only the exceptional species that have been able to adapt to it. And the other important thing to know is there are more species of life on Earth today than there have been in the entire history of life on Earth, 3.5 billion or so years. As life has evolved, it has continued to speciate and diversify into more and more species to where today, and National Geographic had a wonderful graph of this, showing the extinction events that have occurred, five main extinction events, the last one, the dinosaur extinction, as it's called, but a lot more than dinosaurs went extinct then, was 65 million years ago, thought for sure pretty much to be an asteroid that hit the Yucatan and pierced the Earth's crust and threw magma up into the stratosphere where it darkened the skies for enough years that almost all the plants died for lack of sunlight, and that's what caused that extinction. But since then, biodiversity has just skyrocketed back up again to higher than it's ever been in the history of life on Earth. So we can be very thankful for that. And there's not going to be a mass extinction because of a degree or two of warming. It will actually cause life to expand more into the colder areas of the Earth.
Well, you know, I think I mentioned this when you were on before, and I've never really bought into their climate change. I didn't buy into it when it was the existential threat of global cooling, and then it was global warming, and now it's climate change because they can't make up their mind. Because it, and when they started scurrying about the CO2, I went back to my biology and my science classes when I was in middle school, and what we learned about oxygen and CO2 and life. And I thought, this can't be correct. They must mean carbon monoxide, because CO2 is not a bad thing. I just never quite understood. So therefore, I always questioned and didn't believe 100% of what they were telling me.
Well, they counter that by saying, well, too much of a good thing is bad, as if there's too much carbon dioxide. But it's actually only at 0.04% in the atmosphere, when it has been 10 and 20 times higher than that in the past when life flourished on the Earth. So life is perfectly fine with a much higher level of CO2. In fact, all of the forests and wildlands out in the country, if they're getting enough water and if they're getting enough nutrients from the soil, then carbon dioxide is the limiting factor on their growth. And the same in agriculture, because in agriculture, the farmer is making sure the crops are getting enough water and enough fertilizer. So therefore, automatically, the CO2 content in the atmosphere is the limiting factor on the growth and yield of those crops. And that is proven absolutely by the fact that greenhouse growers around the world, commercial greenhouse growers, buy carbon dioxide in cylinders and inject it into their greenhouse to double and triple from 400 parts per million up to 800 to 1200 parts per million. And they could put even more in and get more growth, but there's a law of diminishing returns involved. But still, they double and triple the CO2 in their greenhouses and get 20 to 60% increased yield because the plants want that much in order to grow to their maximum ability. That is a fact, and there's no denying it.
CO2, I mean, AOC would call them like evil scientists or something, pumping a CO2 in there, because she doesn't have a clue, because they don't understand growth and life and oxygen and CO2. It's we've got to just keep pumping the truth out there, and go ahead.
Most of the activists are using the climate issue for political ends, primarily, as usual, money and power. And so they're actually using climate change to bring in totalitarianism, socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it, because they want control over all the rest of our lives. And in fact, when I first read Bertrand Russell when I was 16, On Authority and the Individual is the title of his little screed, and it made me, it's very clear to me that politics is very simple. It's about the balance between how much control society has over you versus how much freedom you have for yourself. And that balance needs to be struck, in my view, towards personal freedom, wherever it doesn't interfere with other people's personal freedom. And it's very simple. But these people want control. They do not want us to have our personal freedom. They don't even want to let us talk in public.
Oh, no, no, because they don't want people to know the truth. Because the truth in my realm sets people free. And they don't want that because they do want more control. And absolutely,
CO2
Coalition
hurts.
Is pushing truth. What's that?
For them, the truth hurts.
Oh, yeah, it does. We've got about 30 seconds. I want to encourage everyone to go to co2coalition.org. That's co2coalition.org. And I'm going to let you close it up, Dr. Moore.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's been a great pleasure. And I just want to say that we should all be very thankful that we're alive and that we have this beautiful earth to live on and to celebrate our good fortune for even being here in the first place. And hopefully we'll be here for a little longer.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Moore. I appreciate it. We will have another CO2 Coalition representative next week. On Tuesday. And we'll talk some more common sense. Thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do there, Dr. Moore, at the CO2Coalition.org. That's CO2 Coalition. Truth and life. That's how we all work together to bring America home.
CSC Talk Radio's goal is to bring America home. That includes you and your business. Radio is a powerful way to brand your company and increase your profits. Find out how to join CSC Talk Radio, help educate and activate America, and grow your business at the same time. Looking for new customers? Looking to have your business reaching out from sea to shining sea? Advertise with CSC Talk Radio. Believe in your product? Let Beth Ann be your personal spokesperson to properly brand your product and company. It's simple, easy, and affordable. Grow your business, grow common sense, and together we will bring America home. To be a part of CSC Talk Radio, call 573-796-2166. That's 573-796-2166. Or send email to beth@csctalkradio.com.
Do we lack enthusiasm and understanding of the word liberty? Do we weep for liberty which we have lost? Or do we simply not understand the substance and sacrifice for which we were once privileged? Liberty. Webster defines liberty as the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's life, behavior, or political views. Today we seem to want restrictions. Government micromanaging our lives? But do we realize the cost? Alexander Hamilton once stated, "There is a certain enthusiasm in liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism." As a republic, we the people must guard the liberty of others. We must continue the enthusiasm that will make men free. Visit csctalkradio.com, where Beth Ann puts enthusiasm and common sense back into American liberty as she brings America home.
Gold and silver have been the foundation of wealth for individuals and nations the world over. The history of man is packed with coins, jewelry, and artifacts that have spoken to the intrinsic value esteemed in gold and silver due to their rarity, durability, and usefulness. I'm proud to call Melody Cederstrom a friend and honored. Discount Gold and Silver Trading is a loyal sponsor of CSE Talk Radio, a Christian company founded on the principles of truth and honesty. Melody provides quality products, quality service, and competitive pricing. Let Melody's over 20 years of experience and gold and silver trading be your investment guide, from precious metals purchases to precious metals IRA. Whether you want to buy or sell, Melody and her team at Discount Gold and Silver will assist you and make sure you get the best deals possible. Call Melody and tell her thank you for sponsoring CSE Talk Radio, and then let her know you want her to be your gold and silver dealer. Visit Melody online at dgscoins.com or just give her a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.